This morning, we are taking a journey back to the fields of the nearby Bethlehem. And the first story of Christmas is recorded by this Gentile physician by the name of Luke. He was not a Jew. He was actually one of those many Hellenistic worlds, typical world, who were following Jesus Christ. And Luke's focus is very particular in a way. And from our modern eyes, we can't really tell the difference much about anything. It's a story about angels, and the whole scene sounds kind of beautiful. But then yet, if we take a journey back to the historical context of the day, this was a bit of extraordinary event. Not because of miracles, angels showing up, seeing the great clouds of angels, and hearing and singing and praising, but because the message of the first Christmas came to, not to the political powers, not to the rich, but to the marginalized, the people who were despised, the shepherds. And Luke has an intentional focus on the people who are normally not considered as worthy people. And the whole point of his gospel is that Jesus came to save the people who are weak, poor, powerless, and helpless. In that sense, it was extremely different from the Judaism of the day, because Judaism basically said you have to follow and keep certain laws. And a lot of them were the man-made traditions of the law, so which is an additional burden on people. And if you are typical poor person and farmers and peasants, and you not only don't have the luxury of taking the time to follow through everything, so you just couldn't handle the amount of attention and then space, details, what to eat and what not to eat. You just couldn't do that. But Christmas story comes to shepherds. And then when you think about this, the scene of shepherds, we need to remember that. The symbolism, the God's remark about this gospel, the good news about the Christmas is actually for all of us. And maybe those of us kind of think of some people that who will never come to know Christ, whether because of their lifestyle, whether because we are different class socioeconomically, but they are the ones that Jesus comes with the good news. And my intention is very simple. Let's take a look at what happened to the shepherds and learn to follow their example and reflect. And not only remember the Christmas season, but our lesson for the renewal, spiritual renewal. And today is not only Christmas Day, but the last Sunday of 2011. Can you believe that? Luke starts with this historical record of mentioning Caesar Augustus. Why is it a big deal? First of all, Luke was a historian, So he wanted to make sure that Jesus that he's sharing about is actually not a mythological figure, a story that some kind of like a Santa Claus story, but Jesus was a historical figure. This census and registration is orchestrated by God. Can you imagine this? Just because Micah says, in Bethlehem, the city of David, a baby will be born, a son will be given. So the whole history is orchestrated by sovereign God. That's what's happening. So Mary and Joseph, they're going to their hometown, which is Bethlehem, and everyone is doing so. So inn is crowded, and they couldn't find any place. And they find a stable and a manger putting down baby Jesus there. And somewhere along the outskirts of the city, shepherds at night tending the sheep. And all of a sudden, the angel showed up. If you look at verse 14, there are three things that angel's saying. Good news. Actually, the verbatim expression is good news of great joy. And then, glory and peace. So let's think about this before we think about, reflect on the lessons itself. First of all, good news of great joy. What is the good news? That Jesus is born to us. We're going to explain and maybe expound and reflect on what that means a little bit later. But for now, the good news is Jesus, Son of God, is born to us today. And it is for all the people. And that's the same expression, the same people group. I mean, all the people group. In Matthew 28, the Great Commission, go therefore, make disciples of all nations, ta ethne. That's the same expression. This is a Jewish gospel, but Luke, in his eyes, the gospel is universal. From our eyes, we need to see that the gospel, the good news of Christmas, is not just for the religious people. It's not just for the people who are nice, who's not just people who are certain ethnic groups. The gospel of Christmas, the good news of Christmas, is for all ethnic people, all people. Including Iranians, Iraqis, North Koreans, and Chinese, Argentinians, Mongolians, and Japanese. The second thing that happens, that was a one angel showing up. Fear not, I bring you the good news of great joy that is for all the people. The announcement has been made. But because of, just imagine this, suddenly, is it without expectation, verse 15, the host of angels, as if one person's voice of praising is not enough. The crowd, army of angels showed up with unison. Just imagine that the whole sky lit up and the angels show up and with just a thundering sounding voices and praises and maybe hears some kind of trumpets, I don't know. Glory to God in the highest on earth. Peace to those with whom he is pleased. So look at the second phrase first. Glory to God in the highest. Why is it such a glory? Glory of God's sovereign plan is revealed. Just this morning, or earlier this morning, I saw John Piper's Facebook status. No, actually, I think this quote, somebody quoted John Piper. You know what the quote is? This is good. Christmas is replacement of shadow with the reality of Christ. You know what that is? The whole Old Testament was a forthcoming shadow of what the real thing is. Real thing, the reality came, Jesus actually replaced. The Lamb of God, symbolism of sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross, has been replaced. The shadow has been replaced with reality. And the glory of God is shown in Jesus as the greatest gift to the mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the glory. The angels saw the glory, the perfect plan of salvation, the history of God's salvation is finally being revealed. And Jesus in the middle, center of all that. So therefore, we need to be sharp on our thinking. And culturally, you know why people like baby Jesus? Because it's baby Jesus can't do anything. Safe. But think about God's sovereign plan. It's not little baby Jesus. It's a Messiah who will die on the cross, shedding every single blood for our sins. Who will be risen from the dead? Who will be the final, ultimate judge of all mankind? Everything you did and everything I did will be revealed before Jesus Christ. And he will judge us. That glory is there. And finally, the last phrase, on earth, peace among those whom he is pleased. Christmas does not bring peace to all. It brings the gospel, the good news to all the people, but not the peace. The peace is reserved for those with whom God is pleased. NIV will say, those on whom God's favor rests. The question is, can we please him with our own efforts in keeping the law, trying to be good and trying to go to church, trying to read the Bible and pray all the time? Of course not. Our righteousness, in Isaiah's term, is like a dirty rag to God. Here, Hebrews 11, 6, reveals the truth for us. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So who is he that is pleased? With whom is God pleased? Those who put their trust in God's promises. In this case, the good news of Christmas is the promise. His Son, Jesus Christ. The Christ, the Messiah. The Savior of mankind. So having said this, there are three lessons that we're going to reflect together. The first lesson is this: keep your focus on what the good news of Christmas is, which is Jesus Christ. Nothing else. Of course, you know, the origin of giving gifts, exchanging gifts, during Christmas time came out of the idea that Jesus is the greatest gift that God has given us, so therefore we are to give gifts to each other. That was a symbolism. But the good news is not the gifts, the materialistic things. Good news is not the food. Good news is not even warmth of whatever the Christmas sentimentality is. Good news and focus and reason of Christmas is that Jesus given by God, sent by God. Verse 10 and 11, let me read that again. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Notice three titles given to Jesus by the angel. One is Savior. Because every single one of us need a Savior. No one can reach to God on our own effort. The second title is Christ. The Christ is a Greek word for the Messiah, Hebrew. Literally, it means the anointed. That is a symbol, rich symbolism of the King of Israel. In David's throne, the covenant, the continuing covenant with made, renewed covenant with David is in your house, the throne, the reign of your throne will never end. Referring to coming Messiah, Jesus, coming Christ. So we could think of it as a Messiah, the Savior of the mankind, but also the King of Kings. And obviously, the last word, the Lord, is God Himself, the great I Am. So Jesus is the Savior and the King and the God. And because of that, He's not just a baby, but He's a wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Our first and foremost response to the goodness of Christmas is that we are to see Jesus and receive Him as our Savior and Lord. Because He is the good news. It's a very simple thing. Shepherds saw and heard. Because of their simple faith, they did not waste any time. They ran to find what they were told was really true. And they received and worshiped. That sequence is there. But the first thing, so let's see Jesus and recognize who Jesus is. And some of us say, "I've done that when I was younger or several years ago. I received Christ." No, I'm talking about today. Receive Him as Savior and your Messiah, your King, and your God, and you follow Him today. Now this time in John's word, Apostle John's word, he said, John 1, 11 and 12, He, Jesus, came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, and who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This is the gospel. Not because you belong to a special family, not because your grandpa or grandma or your parents were Christians, not because somebody really wanted you to become Christian, but by the grace of God, you receive the free gift of Jesus Christ. Receiving meaning the believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. We become children of God. What a glorious news. You know, if you look at the title of today's message, you probably got figured it out already, right? Renewal essential number 3, we got to share the good news. But some of us, a problem of motivation, right? It's a burden of witnessing and evangelizing. I have to say something religious. And if it's, which is a little uncomfortable for me, awkward, I'm not an expert. I'm not an extroverted. Also, and I say, we've got to, starting with me, we got to look at this again. We need to be stunned by the good news ourselves. And shepherds didn't have problem. They just overflowed with this good news because they're impacted by that. Second lesson, rejoice and praise God for his amazing grace and sacrificial love for us. Verse 15, 16, and 20, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. That's simple faith, right? And guess what? Look at what happened. Verse 16. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they have heard and seen as it had been told them. After they received the message, the good news, with simple faith, and after they receive the reality of what's happening to them, their simple response was worship. Worship. Okay, let's make a note that if you don't have faith, coming of the Lord is fear. And even second coming, for those who do not receive Jesus Christ, it is a fearful time. For those who believe, there is nothing to fear. The angel admonishes, fear not. You have a great joy here. The worship comes out of great joy. So the response, our proper response today, throughout the day, is rejoice and praising God. I made a note to self, as I was meditating this. No matter what I do today, on Christmas Day and coming week, no matter how chaotic my boys might be, I'll maintain the spirit of joy and worship in my heart. That is true sign of my focus on Jesus. Otherwise, it is a religious blase. It's just a cunning, superficial things that we say as a religious people. So I turn to you, brothers and sisters, look into your heart throughout the day and this coming week. No matter what you do, no matter how much of stress and problem that you will go through, focus on Jesus. Maintain your heart with joy and worship. Realizing that Jesus is the greatest gift. Third and last one, share the good news, starting with the people who are near you, which is about Jesus, the Savior of the world. Verse 10 and 17. Let me read it again. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Not some people we think are open to them, open to the gospel. All the people. And when they saw it, they made it known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. You see, when I think about this, all the people, it takes the blindfold off our eyes. You know that your cousin that is so callous to Christianity, he's one of those older people. Your parents, your uncles, your siblings, your aunts, your neighbors, your friends. Yes, from the unreached people group from China to the North Koreans. They belong to all people, all the people. And I say, our first-hand experience with Jesus and God's gospel itself will help us, cause us, compel us to share the good news. I'm going to share just one news that since our team is going out to East Asia, the security reason. So I'm going to be a little bit kind of general, but you guys know what I'm talking about. Our missionary friends in East Asia, when we're visiting them, I still remember one of the activities that we did, a memorable activity we did was getting the foot massage. Oh, it was so good. The first thing that they do is we were sitting in, we're kind of situated in one room. So it was so nice, you know, about six of us sitting around. And they give us hot, really warm water, and then we are to put our feet in there for several minutes. And then later on, they just wash and do all kinds of things. So we had several minutes to kill. And then actually, after we are sharing, you know, about a few things, and the people start coming in, and we each person got one massager, right? Whatever the terminology is. I'm using the different things. Say again? Masseuse. So, thank you. Okay. So these are all people who don't know Christ. And one of our friends, I get embarrassed because she could talk about Jesus everywhere. And she started talking about and even asking me, oh, he's from U.S. and he's really good at marriage and, you know, counselors and all. And, you know, she's not using the pastor word. But you could ask him about, oh, you want to share a little bit about what marriage looks like? I was embarrassed. I didn't say much. But she kept on mentioning the name of Jesus, telling them about her experience. That's it, people. Today and this coming week, let's not think about big evangelism or witnessing as if you need to unpack the doctrine of salvation in front of your non-Christian friends or family members or loved ones. Tell them about what you saw and what you experienced with Jesus. Tell them about Christmas, why Christmas is about Jesus, not about Santa Claus, not about gathering. In recap, on this Christmas day, in coming week, three things. Let's focus on, first of all, on Jesus and receive and follow him as our Savior and Lord. because he is the good news of Christmas. Secondly, let's worship the King of Kings, rejoicing in Jesus and praising God for his greatest gift for us. And thirdly, let's share the good news of Christmas, simply what we saw and experienced in Jesus, with all people, starting with people around us. Let us pray.